Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the JinkoSolar third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, November 16th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host today, Mr. Sebastian Lu, Investor Relations Director. Please go ahead, Mr. Lu.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gener Miao, VP Global Sales and Marketing, and Sebastian Lu, IR Director. Mr. Chen will discuss Jinko's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Gener Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except required under applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢 Sebastian。各位早上、晚上 好， 感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
我很高兴地宣 布， 公司本季度业绩表现强 劲， 组件出货达到1606兆 瓦， 同比增长 41.6%， 总收入达到$8.553 亿， 同比增长 39%， 毛利率 22.1%， 相比2016年二季度的 20.4%， 以及去年同期的 21.3%。基于当前对四季度订单的可见 度， 我们再次将全年出货指引从原先的6到6.5吉瓦提高至6.6到6.7吉瓦。
I'm pleased to announce another strong quarter. Module shipment reached 1,606 MW, an increase of 41.6% year-over-year, while total revenues hit $855.3 million, an increase of 39% over the same period of last year. Gross margin was 22.1%, compared with 20.4% in the second quarter of 2016, and 21.3% during the same period of last year. Based on our current visibility into the fourth quarter, we are once again increasing our full-year shipment guidance to 6.6-6.7 GW from our previous guidance of 6-6.5 GW.
三季 度， 金科电力定完184兆瓦电站项 目， 总定完项目达1314兆 瓦， 发电收入环比增长 20.8% 至 3.955 亿， 发电收入 3.724 亿人民币，金科电力$2.5亿现金出 售， 交易在昨天完成交割。通过分 拆， 公司大幅降低了债务和杠杆 率， 显著改善了资产负债 表， 同时良好现金状 况， 为公司的进一步扩张业 务， 降低债务水 平， 以及在合适时机进行股票回购等操作提供了更多灵活性。
During the third quarter, Jinko Power connected 184 MW solar project, bringing total connection to 1,314 MW. Electricity output increased 20.8% sequentially to 395 GWh, while generating 372 million RMB in revenue. Our sale of Jinko Power business closed yesterday for $250 million in cash. Through this spin-off, we will significantly improve our balance sheet by reducing debt and our net gearing ratio. Our strong cash position will also provide us added flexibility to expand our module business, further reduce debt, and initiate share buyback when appropriate.
全球市场方面, 尽管中国市场四季度并没有看到大规模强装订单, 但中国市场需求依然保持强劲, 组件价格已经企稳, 需求预期将在下一轮补贴削减, 正式公布后继续回升, 这也将成为2017年上半年需求增长的重要催化剂。 除了中国传统的地面电缆市场, 我们通过积极参与领跑者计划和光伏扶贫项目, 使组件销售收入更加多样化。 美国市场需求稳定, 但目前现货市场的价格确实面临挑战, 且大选后市场上也蔓延着不安的情绪。 我们认为这是市场的暂时性恐慌和过度反应, 并已看到市场的企稳迹象。 我们预期, 美国市场将很快回到正轨, 并在2017年下半年回暖。 欧洲市场方面, 主流光伏制造商逐步退出了欧盟的最低限价协定, 这有助于提升市场竞争, 并使消费者获益。 我们也更加青睐公平, 透明, 可预测的市场环境。 公司在印度市场业务增长迅速, 我们加强了当地的销售队伍, 并在新德里开设办公室, 为客户提供本地技术和物流的支持。 我们巩固了在拉丁美洲, 中东等新兴市场的领先地位, 特别是在智利, 墨西哥, 和阿联酋等关键市场, 随后节目会更加详细地讨论。
Turning to global markets where we don't see massive points. Module price stabilized. Demand is expected to pick up again with announcements of next round of feed-in tariff cuts, which should act as a catalyst for strong growth during the first half of 2017. Aside from the traditional utility-scale market in China, we are also diversifying our revenue streams by actively getting involved in shaping the projects of Top Runner Program and the PV Poverty Alleviation Program. Demand in U.S. is stable, but spot market ASP have created a challenging environment, and also a sense of uncertainty is spreading in the market after the presidential election. We view this as a temporary panic and an overreaction by the market, and we believe it has already begun to stabilize. We expect the U.S. market will be back on track, we're sure, and hit up again during the second half of 2017. Looking at the European market, the withdrawal of major solar manufacturers from the EU's MIP agreement is actually benefiting PV customers by helping boost competitiveness. We like this fairer, more transparent, and predictable market environment. Our India operations are also growing very fast. We have reinforced our sales team with the opening of our new Delhi office to provide local technical and logistical support to our customers. We consolidated our leading position in new emerging markets such as Latin America and the Middle East, especially in key markets such as Chile, Mexico, and the UAE, which General will go over in detail later.
始终专注于开发高效产品, 我们的多晶产品在市场上已有明显的竞争优势, 在单晶方面, 我们的单晶硅片产能已投产, 将使用金刚线切割, 并将迅速提升产能, 以支持我们的高效PERC产品线, 公司使用MCT司法黑硅技术的电池, 也即将量产, 在技术储备上, 我们持续投入N型双面电池的研发, 作为行业领先者, 公司技术团队, 一直专注于为客户提供高质量, 高可靠性和高效率的产品。
On the technology front, we remain focused on developing high-efficiency products. Our multi-products have a clear competitive advantage in the market, and our mono-wafer production capacity using diamond wire cutting is not operational, and is scaling up rapidly to support our high-efficiency PERC lines. Our MCT process, black silicon solar cells, are also about to begin mass production. For technical reserves, we continue to develop our bifacial N-type silicon cells. As a leader in the industry, our team is constantly focusing on providing our customers the highest quality, most reliable, and high efficient products.
我们经历过行业的起起落落，但从未对行业的巨大潜力有一丝疑虑。随着技术的持续进步以及系统成本的下降，太阳能正变得越来越有竞争力，并已开始重塑全球能源格局。能置身这样的变革中，我们感到十分自豪。我们将持续发展公司业务，履行绿色能源的承诺。
We have experienced ups and downs of the solar industry, but we have never had any doubts about its great potential. As technology improves and system cost falls, solar energy is becoming increasingly competitive and is actually reshaping the global energy landscape. We are very proud to be part of this trend and will continue to grow our business sustainably as we fulfill our commitment to green energy.
话题交给 Janet 之前。我来介绍一下2016年第四季度和全年业绩指引。2016年四季度，公司组件出货量预计在 1.7 到 1.8 吉瓦之间。我先前已经提到，将提升2016年全年组件出货量至 6.6 到 6.7 吉瓦。
To Jenny, I will quickly cover the third quarter and full year 2016.In the first quarter, the company estimates total solar panel shipments to be in the range of 1.7 to 1.8 gigawatts. As I mentioned before, we are raising our full-year 2016 guidance to 6.6 to 6.7 gigawatts.
接下来我将话题交给 Jenna.
With that, I will turn the call over to Jenna.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. As Ms. Chen mentioned, we shipped a total of 1,606 megawatts of solar modules during the quarter. We are very proud to have achieved such great results and are raising our full-year shipment guidance despite under a challenging environment. We remain cautiously optimistic about 2017's prospects, especially with certain markets regaining growth momentum.To give you a quick overview of the geographic distribution of our shipments, we shipped 1,556 megawatts of solar modules to third parties, including 38% to China, 38% to North America, 11% to Asia Pacific, 6% to Europe, and 7% to emerging markets.As demand in India, Latin America, and the Middle East picks up, our geographic mix will improve and continue to balance out in the following quarters. During this quarter, we expanded our market presence from 47 to 57 countries and regions, and established the New Delhi office in India to provide local service and support to our customers there.China remained one of our largest markets during this quarter. Although pulling orders in fourth quarter are not very evident, demand remains strong as prices stabilized and began to increase again. We expect the demand to grow again during the first half of 2017 as a result of FIT cuts to be announced by NDRC. We are also further consolidating competitive advantageIn markets by supplying more of our high-end modules to solar projects organized by the Top Runner program, which required high efficiency and recognizable brand name products. Outside China, the U.S. market continues to be our main focus. As Ms. Chen just briefly mentioned, there was a relatively sharp decline in ASPs during the fourth quarter, which we believe has already bottomed up.And the presidential election results last week also brought up some disturbance to the market, especially the concerns about the policy uncertainty such as ITC expansion. Despite near-term headwinds, we remain optimistic about the U.S. market. Solar energy is gaining more and more popularity and creating a large number of jobs in the U.S.The market is now rapidly recovering as ASPs stabilize. We expect to see the U.S. market return to explosive growth during the second half of 2017. Demand and ASPs in Japan and the EU have remained relatively stable. We are pleased to see competition in the EU become more market-driven following the withdrawal from the EU's MIP by a number of major solar manufacturers. We welcome this more market-driven environment, which we believe is fair and transparent. Japan is still a sizable market, which we expect will be a top three country next year. We continue to monitor and evaluate the new opportunities in Japan as we try to increase our share of this high-margin market. As I mentioned last quarter, shipments to emerging markets will be concentrated towards the end of 2016 and into 2017. We continue to expand our competitive edge in this market, especially in Latin America and the Middle East, with more than 30% market share in key markets such as Chile, Mexico, and Brazil, which I'm very proud of. We now cover over 40 countries and regions in emerging markets. India shows great potential as we devote more resources towards this strategic important market. We enlarged the sales team in our New Delhi office and established a local service team, including logistics and technical, to support our clients. Total ASPs during this quarter came in at 49 US cents. We expect ASPs to continue to decrease in the fourth quarter and stabilize during the first quarter of 2017. Moving to marketing and branding, we participated in a number of events, exhibitions, and conferences during the quarter. In August, we attended InterSolar South America in Brazil, where we exhibited our Eagle Dew and the 72-cell Eagle series as the largest player in Brazil. In September, we attended SPI in Las Vegas, where we exhibited our brand new Eagle Model Perk series and all-black solutions, which is marketed for the residential market. In October, we attended the Green Expo in Mexico, which was the largest industry trade show in Mexico. We exhibited our new TS4 smart solutions and the Maxim smart solutions there. We were also named as one of the Future Magazine's top 100 fastest growing public companies, ranking number 16 overall. We were also appointed as one of co-chairs for the B20 under the leadership of the German G20 presidency. We further strengthened our leading position and brand value and recognition worldwide by participating in those events. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Charlie, who will go over our financial results of this quarter.
Thank you, Taylor. I'd like to walk you through our financial results for the third quarter of 2016. Total solar module shipments were 1.6 gigawatts, down 6% sequentially, and up 42% year-over-year. We connected 184 megawatts of projects this quarter and had 1,314 megawatts in operation by the end of Q3. Total revenue was $855 million, down 4% sequentially,
and up 39%.
Solar power projects was $56 million, up 29% sequentially, and up 81% year-over-year. Gross margin was 22.1% compared to 20.4% in Q2 and 21.3% in Q3 2015. ASP was 50 cents per watt. We continued to cut our integrated non-silicon cost to 27 cents per watt from 29 cents in Q2. The blended costs, excluding the U.S. tariff costs, were cut to 37 cents per watt from 41 cents in Q2. Our operating expenses represented 11.5% of total revenue, compared to 12.9% in Q2 and 11.9% in Q3 2015. Excluding non-cash expenses, the operating expense was 10.9% of total revenue in Q3 2016. Operating margin was 10.5% compared to 7.5% in Q2 and 9.5% in Q3 2015. Net interest expense was $33 million, up 81% sequentially and up 50% year over year. The sequential increase was mainly due to the increase in loans associated with Jinko Power's solar projects and the fees charged by financial institutions associated with the discounted notes receivable. EBITDA was $131 million compared to $136 million in Q2 and $74 million in Q3 2015. EBITDA related to module business was $85 million compared to $102 million in Q2 and $52 million in Q3 2015. Net income was $35 million. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.12 and 92 cents respectively. Non-GAAP net income was $46 million. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.44 and $1.40 respectively. Now, let's move to the balance sheet. By the end of Q3, cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash were $547 million compared to $557 million by the end of the second quarter. Accounts receivable was $881 million compared to $628 million by the end of Q2. Accounts receivable related to module business was $694 million compared to $478 million by the end of second quarter. Inventories were $489 million compared to $466 million by the end of second quarter. Total debt was $2.2 billion compared to $1.8 billion at the end of Q2. The total debt related to module business was $918 million compared to $809 million at the end of Q2. We closed the sale of Jinko Power, which significantly solidified our balance sheet position. In the investor relationship presentation, page 13, we provided the pro forma key items of our balance sheets, assuming the transaction was completed in September. Post the transaction, the cash and the restricted cash increased to $571 million compared to $547 million. The total debt was reduced to $918 million compared to $2.2 billion. Net debt significantly declined to $347 million compared to $1.6 billion. Total liabilities dropped to $2.5 billion compared to $4 billion. After the transaction, we are able to recognize the revenue for the module shipments to Jinko Power. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we will take our first question from Philip Shen of Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. You mentioned that your Q3 ASP was 49 cents. You know, I know that you see some weakness, and there's been some weakness since then. But can you share with us what you expect your ASP to be on a blended basis in Q4? And can you also share what the ASP you see is by region in Q4? And then finally, how do you expect ASPs to trend by quarter in the, you know, by region in 2017?
Hi, Let me correct one typo or one mistake from my speech just now. This is Chandler. The ASP in Q3 actually is 50 instead of the number 49. So please take 50 as ASP for Q3. And your follow-up question regarding this Q4 ASPs, we are believing Q4 ASPs will at the range of low 40s for this Q4. And actually, we have seen the market price has dropped after the first half and a pretty sharp decrease. However, we have seen the picking up demand is very obvious, especially in China. Also, as well as in India, so we're expecting the market price will not only become stable, but sometimes will be coming back to a more reasonable and more reasonable market numbers. So in that case, we are expecting the Q4 ASP will at the range of low 40s. And for the 2017, in general, we believe the price will continue to decrease a little bit. However, if we're looking into this quarter by quarter, we have seen, as obviously we are expecting the China rush will impact the total ASP significantly. Meanwhile, as well as this rush in Japan as well as India, because both India and Japan got this fiscal year ended by March. So in that case, with this three major markets rush coming in online at the same time, we're expecting the market price will become better.
Thanks, Gina. As a follow-up to your response there, you mentioned that there might be a rush in China. I think this time around, the deadline to receive the 2016 tariff is September 30th of 2017, whereas earlier this year, the deadline was for June 30th, and I think we've seen that in prior years. So how do you expect that extended 3 months deadline to impact the demand? I mean, could there be a less of a demand pull-in in the first half since it's spread over more months?
For China, actually, no matter it's June, end of June or end of September, it's still a drop the phase. So it has not been finalized yet. So we don't know what would be the finalized date to now. But the extended 3 months from the first drop to second drop may, let's say, extend or ease some of this nervousness from the industry that the drop of the feed-in tariff are too far more significant than the expectation. So, and meanwhile, for this if the change or the decrease of the feed-in tariff happened as the what the drop is saying right now, I think the rush will become harder and stronger because everyone for sure will prefer to get this better feed-in tariff. And meanwhile, for this China rush, there's another thought or there's another consideration will be this top runner program. Actually, it is something, let's say, beyond the normal feed-in tariff because the electricity price or the final feed-in tariff is in the bidder phase. So once the bidder is open, all the number is fixed. So that is something beyond the rush.
Great. I have one more and then I'll pass it on. In terms of your cost structure, you improved it to 27 cents, I believe, non-silicon cost structure from 29. So you improved it by 2 pennies in Q3. To what degree was that due to lower external wafer and cell costs? How much of the 2 pennies was due to the rapid decline in those two external costs? And then do you expect that benefit, if there is any or was any, to continue forward? And then what do you expect your cost structure to be in Q4 and then by Q4 of 2017. Thanks.
Hey, Philip, this is Charlie. And you're right, we successfully cut our non-silicon cost to 27 cents. I think the saving of 2 cents is coming from the 1 cent is from the wafer side. and another 1 cent is from the module side. And we are still on the track to cut our total, you know, from our perspective, we are targeting the total blended cost, you know, quarter by quarter. In Q3, the total blended cost is 40 cents, and we are targeting to reach to around 35 cents. And of which I think the 5 cents, 3 cents is coming from the U.S. tariff cost. In the Q3, we still need to pay some tariff costs, including some inventories carried forward from the second quarter. But in the fourth quarter, we don't need to pay the tariff cost. And for the in-house module costs, we are working on every aspect to continue to cut the in-house module costs, including, you know, we are getting lower material costs from our strategic suppliers, and we continue to increase the production efficiencies and increase the automatic production levels. So all in all, I think, you know, we are very confident we can achieve the total blended cost to 35 cents compared to the 40 cents in the third quarter.
And then thoughts on Q4 2017, where could the cost structure go?
Yes, Q4. I'm saying, you know, the total blended cost will be around 35
cents.
Sorry,
Q4 2017, so 1 year from now, how low could it be? Is that 35 cents target for Q4?
You're talking about 2017, right? Oh, sorry. I think, you know, we are still, you know, doing, you know, the planning for 2017. I think, you know, we will announce in the next quarter, but I think, you know, the 10%, I think it's our initial target.
Great, thanks. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Brad Michael of Craig-Hallum. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Could you talk a little bit more about 2017 and what you said you see a steep rebound in the U.S. market and just, you know, overall, I think coming out of SPI, the sentiment was pretty negative about the direction of spot pricing and you said it'll come down a little bit more. Just, you know, what do you generally see in terms of how 2017 is shaping up in terms of your visibility and what the second half could look like?
A good question. This is Jenna. Actually, we have seen the U.S. market has significant, especially the market price, a significant drop after, I think, Q3. And the main reason we believe will be this ITC extension happened the year before. Actually, because of the IDC, previously all these pipelines and business cycles are designed and developed for this previous ITC schedule, which is ended by end of this year. So all the projects is scheduled to get a COD or grid connection by year end. So once the ITC extension announced and the new business cycle start, I think all these pipelines of greenfield development activities will take a couple of months, let's say around 10 months business cycle to get it realized. So in that case, after this old pipeline is done, and it's new, before the new pipeline is coming up online, and there will be some time of the, let's say, panic or less of lack of the demand. That's mainly the reason why the market price changed so significant for this year end. However, we believe starting from the mid or let's say early 2017, the things will become better. One way is saying that you know, the other major markets such as China, Japan, India, the demand is pretty strong. Everyone's very busy with get grid connection by first half. Meanwhile, U.S. Some of the early development has been down, so more and more demand is picking up, and people will not as panic will not be as panic as before. So we believe in the second half of for 2017, U.S. market will give us a kind of are booming compared to what's happening for this year end.
And how much of 2017 orders are on the books at all? Or, you know, do you know where you're kind of looking at pricing in terms of taking orders and giving customers some level of guidance on what they should expect?
In general, we have around 30% of the order for 2017, and for sure we are closely follow the market changes, and we will picking up more orders to filling the from near term to mid term to long term orders.
Thanks. Just last question: do you have an estimate on what global demand is from your vantage point for 2017 and 2018?
Sorry, can you repeat?
What your estimate of global demand is for 2017 and 2018? Do you think that the global solar market grows in megawatts next year and the following?
Okay, so for 2017, we believe the growth will not as strong as what's happening in 2016. So, however, it is still a good market. We are expecting around 10 to 15% increase between 2017 and 2016. And followed with 2018, personally, I will be more optimistic for 2018 because with this more system cost decrease, we have seen lots of market become economically viable. Meanwhile, and more regions will issue the policy, supportive policy for the solar market. So more market will coming up online. So solar market will get a bigger booming for 2018.
You see a lot of new markets kicking in terms of expansion to rest of the world outside of existing markets.
Especially in emerging markets. Such as Latin America, Middle East, Africa, all this kind of emerging world of in solar industry, lots of governments are using supportive policies or they are moving on these directions. We believe more clarities will happen within 2017.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Gordon Johnson of Axiom Capital. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my question. I guess on the China market, China recently reduced their installation target by 2020 to 110 from 150 gigawatts. And given they've already installed 43 and it looks like they're going to do about 25 this year and 24 next year, that would suggest there's going to be a significant fall off in 2018 if you just look at 2018, 19, 20, getting to 110 or even maybe 10 gigawatts above it. So do you guys see a significant fall off in Chinese installations in 2018 due to their reduced target? And can you remind us again how many projects you sold this quarter? And then I have a follow-up. Thanks.
Thank you. For China market, the installation or demand for module in 2018 will still be strong because lots of certificated or approved project pipelines has to finish the installation by the latest draft saying September 30th. So it means before the 2017 end of September, lots of this pipelines have to install, otherwise they will lose this old feed-in tariff. So in that case, I believe China market will still be strong in 2017. For the further year, like 2018, 19, even 20, the current new five-year plan saying that the total number will become smaller at 110 gigawatts. However, they set up this word saying that no less than 110 gigawatts. So it means that they're setting up 110 as the bottom of their target. And as far as we have heard from the market, actually the NEA are targeting a more ambitious target, especially with the current faster dropping electricity price in solar biddings in top runner program.
This is Charlie. Just to supplement, we think it's a conservative target for the over 110 gigawatts. The government wants to promote the distributed generations and promote the top runner program to adopt the high efficiency technology and to lower the PPA. So the target is to, you know, deploy more solar projects in China, and with the dramatically lower system costs, and we are still very optimistic for China market. So we remain our estimation for the 150 gigawatts by the end of 2020.
Hi, Gordon, this is Sebastian. To make some color on this, and also we want to mention that, this year, one of the hot topic in China is that poverty alleviation program, which are not included in those, 5-year plan. So, and like Jenna and Charlie said, it is a very conservative and a kind of a high level target. Just government want to achieve it for sure. But in fact, we think the real connection will be a lot more than this number.
Okay, that's helpful. And then I guess on the front runner program, it seems like it's clearly a reverse auction program. And from the checks we've done, we're hearing that bids are being submitted for the high 30s right now for the front runner program. And I guess that it hasn't been specified yet, but the assumption is that it's going to be 10 gigawatts in 2017, which means front runner would jump from roughly 23% of installations in 2016 to roughly 40% in 2017. If bids are being submitted so low, given the reverse auction nature of this program, does that have the potential effect of weighing on module prices more significantly maybe than we would have thought previously?
Well, for the top runner program, we see this sometimes the bidders are beyond our expectations and they behave very aggressively. Sometimes we believe it's not good for the industry, but we believe it will be the. It shows some indications that some of our peers are very desperate to get some projects in China. And meanwhile, for this pressure of the pricing side, we believe actually at the end of the day, it will be the market tell. Even you intend to buy some high quality, high efficiency product at a very aggressive price, sometimes not. You cannot buy it, especially when all this 5 gigawatt top runner program start installation and have such demand in the similar time frame. Back to your top runner scheme for just the following years, actually we believe top runner is designed to get this high efficiency, high quality product a stage to show and to give a showcase from the state level. However, when the government observes this crazy or aggressive pricing for the electricity, what we heard is there's another program is in progress which got a super top runner program which will emphasis on this efficiency and the cutting edge technology instead of this pricing of the electricity. So that's what we heard.
Gordon, this is Sebastian. One comment to Anne. I think there's a little bit misunderstanding in the market about top runner program and the final price, the final bidding price, because I think people pay too much attention to the low price of some of the bidding results. But in fact, lot of the project, their price range are making sense and in normal range. Some of the project, the result is a super low price, like General said. One reason is that some of our peers, they are a little bit desperate to get those projects. Second reason is some SOEs, they have their targets or they have their quota to finish by this year, then they have to bid for those projects no matter what price it is. But if you look at other price, especially the price Jinko have won, it's not that ridiculous. I think if you ask, we can provide you details about our, you know, the project we won and the final result. That will make a lot of sense to you. That will make a lot of sense to you.
Okay, and then lastly, what was your operating cash flow in the quarter?
I think Charlie will answer this question.
Okay, back to another question. I think you're asking how many projects we are seeing. I think,
yes.
For Jinko Power, we have closed the transaction to sell, you know, the equity we have, you know, for Jinko Power. So I think I just recommend you can refer to the relevant news we have released on our website. And in terms of the cash flow, the operating cash flow for third quarter, I think it was around negative $180 million. Which is because we're investing on the working capital for the strong shipments in the fourth quarter and in the next few quarters. And one of the items is accounts receivable, which increased, I think, around $200 million. That is because, you know, after the first half year, rush installation in China, and based on the market conditions, the payment term has been a little bit longer. The turnover days for the module business increased from the 60 days to 80 days, and we are expecting the payment term will, you know, will improve by the end of the year.
Okay, and what was the operating cash flow for the quarter?
Operating cash flow is, is negative $180 million.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the questions, guys.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alec Berman of Coyote Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, hello. How you doing? Just want to clarify. I guess you gave some ASP and kind of cost guidance. So you're basically saying Q4 margins are looking around 20%. Is that what the implication was? I just want to be clarify that. And then what are your thoughts on margins for 2017 as we go through the year?
Hello? The reception is not very good. Cannot hear the question at all.
Can you hear me now?
You can fast.
Yeah, there's some static on the line. Can you
hear
me now? That,
okay. Yes, that's good.
Okay, so my question was about margins in Q4, are you sort of implying that they're going to be around 20% based on what you said about ASPs and cost? And then also, what are your thoughts on margins, you know, Q1 and then as we head through the year, kind of where you're thinking on margins?
In Q3, I think we are very successful to improve our gross margin to 22%, of which module business was around 19%, and Jinko Power business is around 61%. And by the end of October, we closed the transaction to sell the Jinko Power. So looking to the fourth quarter for the module business, we expect the gross margin is in the range of, I think, you know, in a range of 15% to 18%. And looking in terms of the Q1 next year, and we are still targeting over 15% gross margin.
Okay, thank you.
We will take our next question from Mike Adams of Graham Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could tell me what the current outstanding balance of the 4% convertible notes is and what the plan is to repay them, assuming they're put in February. Thank you.
The convertible bonds, refer to our balance sheet, and we have a number separately presented. It's around, I think, $80 million to $85 million.
We are still in the process of repurchasing, so we cannot give you the number right now. That's kind of sensitive information, and which may reflect the market price. So if you're looking at the number at the quarter end, you can definitely, like Charlie said, you can refer to our 6K.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
As there are no further questions in the queue, I will turn the program back to Mr. Liu for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
So on behalf of the entire Jinko Solar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us and have a good day and good evening. Thank you all. Goodbye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.